Well, we were a bunch of people that just got together and decided that we really felt that Boulder needed a community station. Community station, an NPR station, and we put it together.
Yeah, and here we are.
And here we are, and it's magnificent. I mean, of course, we started in a little cottage behind the Hilton Harvest House at the time, and so I'm looking around and seeing how much we've grown. It's amazing.
We've come a long way, baby.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand you started writing when you were 7. You worked on a newsletter with your neighbor, Anne Marie.
That is correct. The Montrose News.
Oh, Montrose? Or
no, Montrose was the name of the street.
Oh, okay. But, in Scarsdale.
And there were 3 issues. I actually amazingly still have an issue, which is kind of
that's great.
Strange. We went to neighbor to neighbor, and for 5 cents, people could buy the subscription, which lasted 3 issues.
Excellent. And everybody in the neighborhood had one, right?
Yeah, absolutely. They were very supportive. Thank goodness, and here I am still writing.
Yeah, so where did you go from there with your writing?
Let's see. Well, I've been writing all my life. It's kind of hard to say. I've written for virtually every kind of writing. I've had nonfiction books out. I've written here in Boulder, for instance. I was the music. I wrote a music column for the Colorado Daily for about 2 years.
Oh, wow.
I wrote for the Rocky Mountain Musical Express. I wrote for a beautiful magazine that's no longer around, a four-color magazine called Rocky Mountain Magazine. And I've been writing, I wrote for television. I mean, I basically was in television for almost 18 years, writing and producing and directing national television.
But yeah, what kind of writing for TV did you do?
Well, I started off as a documentary filmmaker and then started spreading out because I wanted to do as many things as possible in television. So I wrote, I did shows for Discovery Channel for quite a while, for PBS, for CNN.
Yeah, and then interesting, you have a book called Filthy Rich that's obviously nonfiction. What's that about, and how did you come to write that?
Well, I was a co-author of that. A really wonderful gentleman named Richard Steckel, who passed away recently, who was from Colorado and who I had worked with before, and a woman named Robin Simons, who's also was from here, but now lives in Seattle area. He was interested in letting nonprofits know how to generate their own income instead of always going out for grants. And so the name of the book, the full name was Nonprofit, what was it? Filthy Rich and Other Nonprofit Fantasies. And so Robin and I actually did the writing of the book. Richard was an expert in the field, and he would go out and tour with the book, and he was the one who would sell it. So his name is on the book, and he gave us a lot of the content, and Robin and I wrote the book.
And then from there, I guess you wrote your first novel. Was that a departure, the novel, or was that something you always wanted to do?
It was something. I've written screenplays, and I've written virtually every kind of writing, but I had not written a novel. And I was living in the San Francisco area and decided that I wanted to move. I now live in Montana, and I really wanted just to be unfettered by the economics of television and other things that I'd been doing. And I have a lot of stories in my head.
Yeah, I guess so. A lot of stories in this book. Actually, I was going to ask you to give us a synopsis of the novel, because if I gave it, I might give too much away. So it's hard to kind of pick and choose.
Well, I suppose I could read from the back, because that's probably the easiest way to do it and not have any spoilers in
there. Yeah, exactly.
So on the back of the book, the title of the back of the book will be, is Who Can Survive the Siren Call of Beauty? 4-year-old Eunice Kinsvater leaves her Minnesota farmhouse for the very first time. It's because her mother drags her to a doctor, with the hope he'll absolve her for Eunice's face. It's albino with a grotesque birthmark, an unnaturally ugly thing, according to Mama. Though the doctor finds nothing physically wrong, Eunice is kept isolated from the world, Mama filling her with tales of fearful gods, demons, and prophecy. Eunice begins to experience unpredictable hypersensitivity to people and places. She instinctively gravitates to water and to Freyja, the Norse goddess of beauty, Mama's ideal. Determined to be of value, Eunice embarks on a journey to quantify beauty, to protect future generations from the pain she's experienced, and someday make everybody beautiful through science. But Eunice's obsessive research into beauty draws her into a world of unreliable voices, unforeseen pleasures, dangers, and death. In Beautiful to the Bone, Eunice must fight for her sanity and reconcile the gap between the science of beauty and the incalculable qualities that draw us to it.
Wanted to ask you about the title, where you got the title.
Well, it's interesting. When I was writing the book, the original title for the book was The Night Belongs to Eunice.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the working title from the beginning to when it was done. But when it was done, I realized it really wasn't the right title. What happened was that I really loved the name Beautiful. I wanted Beautiful to the Bone as the title. But my editor in New York said, you know, there's an awful lot of titles with bone in it these days. So I Googled it on the internet, and sure enough, immediately 24 or 28 titles came up with the name Bone in it. So I changed the title to The Beauty of Shadows. But then I spoke to another agent and said, because I really didn't like it as much as I like Beautiful to the Bone, and I asked her, what do you think? And she said, oh, I definitely like Beautiful to the Bone better.
Yeah.
And so I went back to Beautiful to the Bone.
Yeah, it captures a lot of what the issues, the topics of the book are, which one of them being a search for beauty and just what is beauty. And what effect do you hope to have on your readers? What feeling do you hope to leave them with?
I'm resistant to say precisely what, because I don't want anybody going into the book with pre-knowledge. I think whatever it means to them, that's what it's meant to be, mm-hmm. quite honestly. But I think... as it says in my opening dedication, I think compassion is very important.
Well, congratulations on a wonderful first novel, and good luck in your future endeavors. This is Ginger Perry for KGNU.